Yes, exactly. So you see, so it did help because it did stir it.
Yeah.
And that image that you have in mind might be really the image that you're going to use. For now, it's good to let that grow because it comes from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But also to sort of keep in this meditative mood, just keep turning the pages, because what you're doing is working on the song.
Yeah. Well, and it was interesting because looking at these, just looking at them with the song in mind, and then now in the car looking at them with the music playing at the same time, was different.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That was
good.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it is, you know, this really we will use more and more, and we'll begin to use it in terms of character. So that what you see in the painting just gets this thing going, and then you can be that girl in the front hall.
Yeah.
Good.
That one, we talked about the girl who said yes. Do you remember? We did a little exercise a couple weeks ago. She's got where she's... We had looked at the picture of the field and did that, and then the next week we said she was out in the field.
Yes.
Was trying to decide whether or not to marry this guy and decide she's going to say yes. And for some reason, I always had this image of grim determination. Not like a joyful yes, I'll marry him.
That sure is it. Oh, that's so good.
There she is right there on the camera. Oh, and something else came to mind. I can't remember what it was. This book I didn't.
But that's the idea, Jenny.
Yeah.
You see, and then as it just sort of floats up and it happens in your face.
Mm-hmm.
See, but it's all there.
Yeah.
You see, and it's from the inside.
Yeah. Yeah. There was another, I'm not sure.
Oh, gee, I'd like to sit in on Vicky's
visit
with you. Do you suppose she could do it for both of us?
Are you free Friday mornings? It's the only time I'm free, so I'm going to call her up and see if she's free. That, I think I marked that just because of the light and how it seemed like... I have this picture of the piece, how it starts and just sort of keeps radiating and radiating and radiating out like that.
Yes.
So it felt like there was something like this radiating over here, casting that golden light.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of golden light, which is a giving, you know, a gift.
Yeah. It's a warm sort of...
Yeah.
Thing I was thinking about in this book, what does the whole piece look like, and what does it not look like?
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, and on the same tape, I was listening to the Requiem, and that's different. That looks different to me in my head than these pieces do.
Now, isn't a Requiem a sad moment?
Well, the death mass.
It is like a death.
So it's, and Mozart's Requiem, he never finished, but it's quite a dramatic piece. And the text, the Requiem text of the Requiem Mass is very dramatic, too. And I think that he serves the text very well. You know, he just was so innately dramatic, theatrical, I think. Now, where did, there was a picture, I thought it was in here. Of two girls in a hat. Shop, and I was thinking of Susanna at the very beginning of The Marriage of Figaro, and she's trying on her hat,
yes.
And
we had
worked on that.
Good for you, Joni. You're on the right track.
And I thought that they were so gorgeous. I thought it was in this one. Maybe I marked it in the other one. Oh, these paintings are so beautiful. It's such a treat to look at books like this. This book I bought at Price Club. I should keep looking every time I go.
Yes. Do you get them on sale?
This was $25.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I've picked up, so many art books at junk stores and at sales, because they're so expensive.
You have to buy them at sale. Oh, maybe they're in the other. Sorry, I didn't want to waste a lot of time thumbing through. Maybe it isn't this one. This was an art show. God, we were in London. My sister and I, and Jonathan was there, too. We met him in London. And Catherine was studying art in Denver. And so we had just read in the paper that this collection was being shown at the Academy. And it was so stunning. I think that, in a way, I marked that because it was, that felt sort of like, although it's not as dark as the Requiem, it's that sort of that passage, that tunnel, that
This is a wonderful advice. Someday you will think of this one.
Yes, I thought of that when we were talking about fields. And
you see this. See how this is almost a halo,
her
umbrella.
Your parasol,
that's the way you would think. You could think of a character that you were playing, and you would just ingest this in this quality, and that's all you would have to. Then, if you wanted. You know, you see this door section there? If you wanted, you know, if it were Hades, Lord of the Underground, you see.
Something.
I mean, it would have this. This could be Persephone, because of that piece I was writing. See, you see all the little lovely, young, innocent flowers.
Yes, it's funny that you mentioned that last week, because I have a copy of that. Yes. I don't know. I can't remember. But I moved my desk from outside to upstairs. So I had to go through all the files.
Yeah.
And there it was. And there was that last page that you had talked about.
How coincidence is really quite remarkable.
I'm cleaning up my act. Threw a lot of paper away.
No, it wasn't.
Did you want... Oh, no. Here are the girls in the shop.
Okay. So what... Tell me about this. About Susanna and that.
I think it was that with her hands on the hat, and there I imagine that she was gazing at herself in the mirror, and oh no, that one's too dark, but oh look at that one,
And that was just the pleasure,
sort of,
the pleasure.
Yeah.
Really, doesn't this all look like pleasure?
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's visceral.
Look at that with the bow underneath your neck and all
that. Yeah, and. It's special.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to walk into a shop like that and really try on your hat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, wasn't she doing ribbons, or was that for
Susanna had ribbons on hers.
So that's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And now that was very subtle for you, Joni.
Mm.
To first, see, if you were doing Susanna right now, and you came to me with this picture, and I say, yes, it's like pure... innocent pleasure.
Mm.
It's unsophisticated pleasure in buying a hat.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. Then I would say to you, that's what this gives us. Now what I want is I want this with a twinkle.
Mm-hmm.
I want this with gaiety. Susanna is really a very sharp little cookie.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would have to go beyond this to find, you see... You say, well, she tried this one on, but is she going to go for this one?
Mm.
See, this is the way we would talk. Or, you know, which one does she finally take? Look at these.
All the feathers and things. That's wonderful.
Exactly. Would she have said, I love this, but not for, no, someday maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I don't want this one. But the fabric's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere, and I would then... still keep looking for that, the hat she finally chose.
Mm-hmm.
And the hat she finally chose has to, you have to convince me that Susanna, why Susanna chose it and what she needed and whether there was one that was really, you know, just all of, and Susanna said, no, you know, too much. Exactly. So that's the way we would go on and on with her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. So I left that.
Now we get.
So this, but this was just a stunning exhibition to come across. Not expecting.
Was this in England?
This was in, There's that same sort of radiant.
Yes. Yes, I see that. Let's talk about that. See, I could, it isn't quite the right, it's just this portion of it that is the right thing. But if I wanted to say what it could be, we could say that this part is, see, this has darkness in it.
Mm-hmm.
We can't. See, this is coming from above, down. That song don't you feel, comes from below to out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. See, so that's what looking at this thing makes me think of. And suddenly I now know more that it comes out that way.
Yeah, it does. That's what I finally came to. And that's, that's why when I, let's see. That seemed very musical to me. That was the first one I marked. But the thing I finally came to is...
Let's start with that a minute, Joanne. See, I think that is musical. Certainly. I mean, really it does look like, you know, the scale. And that would be very, for me, that would be very helpful in a piece that spoke of music. That spoke of, you know, a kind of quality of music, you know, the vertical and the, and the different tonation and dynamic of it. See, so for me, I would say, see, but for this piece, that you're, it's really the spiritual, the spiritual quality of the piece that matters, in a sense, even more than the music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think what I was interested in, this is predominantly a choral piece with soloists. And I think this was the sounded like the structure to me, where you'd have the choir and then the soloists and choir, sort of
that's,
contrasting blocks of sound coming in and out.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
And that's so structurally, that's not necessarily the feeling, but that's sort of how it looked like.
Yes, good. That, and then saying that is important.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is not what it is.
That's right. We'll get to that. We'll find one of those.
That's more
we'll
like
find a Calero.
The Dies Irae, I think that was just sort of radiance, again,
see,
in a way.
Whose is this work?
Gino Severini.
Severini.
1912. Some of the dates are astonishing on these.
He was a futurist, I think. I can understand what you're saying, what you're seeing here.
I think it's not sophisticated enough. The colors. Mozart is more sophisticated than that. Mozart's not these colors, but do you know what I mean?
Yes,
it
I
seems
do.
Sort of
when you said earlier, you know, what? How would an artist express the thanks that Mozart expressed? And I'm saying to myself, is this the way he's expressing thanks? And I don't think so.
No. This is, it almost seems a little too clever or too...
That's what I'm thinking.
I don't know what it is.
Doesn't have that real spiritual quality.
No.
Okay,
no.
Good. But it is abstract and one could think... But you see how everything that you chose, it deepens the value.
Yes,
of,
it does. Yes, it does.
I thought
these are totally unrelated, but I thought this was interesting. A Woman with a Mandolin, 1910, and Man with a Clarinet, 1911, 1912. This is Picasso and this is Georges Braque.
This is Picasso. This is Braque. Yeah, he's more abstract than he is.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It's an incredible collection, especially just to walk through and see all these paintings.
Oh, yeah. These are from the high 90s. And this is it.
This, I marked this because this is not, I was looking through at the end, I thought, no, what is this not? That seems so exterior to me, her whole, her carriage and everything. It's, you know, we say the piece is this, and this is... This piece is, I'm concerned about my dog, and I'm concerned about my dress, and I'm concerned about my...
I agree. Yeah, so this is finding... This is shapes, really. This is not human passion. It's art.
Yes.
It's the passion of art and the passion of shapes against each other. We have to take some courses in art.
I know. Who was Dr. Hauschstein?
I don't know.
I'm curious because of the shadow that he puts.
Oh, yes, I see that.
Behind him. I'm just wondering. Mm-hmm. It's a bit like... Ah, oh, now this I marked. No, we'll do that one last. Oh, this one, no. I did this because it was... Have you ever seen this card? And it's a silly little greeting card, and it shows a little kid in a totally white kitchen, a kid sitting in a high chair, eating spaghetti, and a woman in with a white apron holding a pot of spaghetti, and there is spaghetti all over the kitchen. And the caption is Jackson Pollock's mother. Yeah. I mean, it looks just like this. It's so funny. I was thinking of our early experiences and how they come out in our art. This I marked, not because not for the painting, but because it's Georgia O'Keeffe's painting. And I don't have any of her work here, but I was thinking of how she has those flowers that radiate outward.
Yes. Yes, yes, and they do. They fill like there's the whole canvas, and then they fill up.
Yeah,
the
and
whole
there is that central
canvas.
Sort of life force coming out of it. And that was the only thing that I could come up with that began to get close to what I felt about it.
On that one, I think it would depend on how that Georgia O'Keeffe painting sort of made you feel from here. Mm-hmm. For me, the golden glow that you are looking for does it for me for that particular song. But you see, and it is very important to discuss the imagery at great length at first so that we keep you on the right track. But then afterwards it becomes your own and you can do anything you damn please. See, once you are understand the rigor of it being totally true and how it will serve the piece. When I say that you can use anything, when I was in a play, some nutty play, and it was the man and a futuristic play, and the man, the husband and wife, had their sexual excitement by looking at a screen, a big television screen, and these were cats mating, and I, and I, you know, I was scared of cats. At, you know,
oh dear!
Scared. So I did everything. I mean, I read up about cats, and I would go. And it was all baloney. And then one day I just said, this isn't serving me, you know. So I just put two ping pong balls up in front of my mind, the kind that bounce along when you sing a song. And I would go, and it was ping pong balls, and it worked. So that's what I mean.
Yeah.
At some point, you can use anything you want.
Right.
About the Georgia O'Keeffe, maybe it's a different association with it. Somehow either I know it or I have read it. But, you know, I think her work is both design, but also sexual, you know, so that it brings my mind into another place, another kind of opening.
Yeah, it seems, I think her work, and I'm only going on my recollection of what, I wasn't able to look at it and see it accurately, but that sexual energy is a type of life force, but it's not radiance.
That's good
which
for
this
you.
Piece has.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, after all, Mozart had sexual
energy.
Oh,
yes,
I mean,
goodness me.
Yeah. Didn't somebody tell me he writes music like a cow pisses, you know? And I love him for that. And I did read some letters of his, and he is truly, you know, a very earthy guy.
Oh, yes. God.
See, but I think the performer of his Laudate, has to be in another image, right? Does that make sense to you?
Oh yes.
Yeah,
yes,
I don't
yes.
think it. I don't think he's. But one day we will be working on something that includes the life force, the sexual life force, the energy that comes from that, moving into and moving through the body and beyond into the part. That's where you would need, you know, you'd need to begin with that, that flower. And then you would go up, and somehow what comes out like this has passed through the body, and it has all of that energy, but it's no longer of the body. That's the way I want us to think about the work. But so one, you know, one just kind of, it's like we say, well, it is this, but not quite this, to get to really what the thing is.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm just thinking also what it's, on the terms of what it's not, because it is radiant and it's ethereal to a certain extent and all that, but it also is not Palestrina or it is not Bach, which does seem sexless to me.
I said, very good, very interesting. Yes, very, very good. I think when you think about music like that, that's very important, because it's really sort of finding the style. You know, what is that style? And as you find this, it's easier to do the piece. So that, you know, if we understood the Kalervo, you know, and really sort of felt the style, suppose we were working in that, and you had been hired on. As the director is moving you through it, and the composer is, you know, giving you the this pattern of notes to sing, if you have a sense of the style of, that they are reaching for, and sometimes they don't know. They, you know, they're sort of finding it themselves. Then you can serve them better. If you don't understand the style, and some singers are cows, and they know just a traditional thing, and that's all they know. I mean, singers can be very...
Did you watch the marathon broadcast?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I watched some of it. Tell me who was...
I thought they were all terrible, except Hermann Pry, I thought was very funny.
Who?
Hermann Pry. They sang, let's see, they did some...
Oh, he did the... Yes, and then they brought...
And then they started the whole thing,
That's right, and they were in there.
Oh, the only one that I thought was at all interesting was... I liked Thomas Hampson, who sang Figaro. I don't normally like him.
I know.
Because I thought when he did his recital here, I thought he was totally superficial. Sort of, isn't this a wonderful voice? And I thought,
that's right, I too. I saw him at the Met.
But I liked him the other night, and I thought, what a breath of fresh air.
Yes.
And everybody else I thought was terrible.
I know.
And did you see April Milo? Do you remember?
I didn't. Which one did she play?
Aprile Mila. She sang afterwards in that whole bunch. I can't remember what she...
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed her.
What she sang. She had a little sort of sheath-like evening dress with a big glittery bow here, and...
I missed her. I think it was that I wasn't interested in what they were doing, and so I
kept waiting because they kept saying that Placido Domingo and Pavarotti were going to sing a duet together, and that must have been the finale or something because it kept going later and later, and I had to sit through more and more of these terrible arias. I'm going to turn it off.
Well, yeah, see, some of those people just wouldn't be able to do anything other... They wouldn't be able to do any contemporary work because they simply don't understand it.
That was
really... Joni, dear, you've done well, and what is exciting is what you bring to turning the pages and the way your mind is beginning to just dwell pleasurably is on what you're doing. And that's the whole point of it. It's a pleasurable way to be thinking about your music. And I would, say that, if you found a group of reproductions and even Xerox them, and when you came before your recital, you just sat there and you looked at the, see this, just this. What it does is keep you connected to what you're doing without striving. It's just pleasurable. See, so you bring a book and you turn the pages. It's a moving meditation. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, what you're doing is ingesting the quality. I'm going to tell you what happened to me because I think it's useful. Years ago, I was doing a play that was it was an Englishman, John somebody, and a saint, a penny for a saint, I forget what it was called. Anyway, I think he died early, but he was a very, very interesting playwright. Very difficult, very, very difficult. And I really had to work to understand him. It took me weeks, and I would come in and say, I think this is what he's talking about. It was that difficult. Mm-hmm. I played a young English girl whose father had been maybe a famous inventor or a famous somebody who was now in his dotage and was incontinent, etc. Mm-hmm. And all that I remember was that she tells her father that she's going to get married or that so-and-so, a very important person, is going to come to visit them. Okay. So in my wanderings, in the morning, I remember this was on Haight Street, just before the Haight, went, I walked into a secondhand bookstore, and I was just looking, just like this. And then there were some magazines from England, see? And I sort of looked through that, and in one, it was an announcement of Queen Elizabeth's engagement to Philip. And I said, I'll buy this book. See, and I remember my heart just sort of went.
That's it.
I bought that book, and I cut out that little thing, and I kept it with me. And when the grandfather or the father and I would sit on this little settle or whatever you call them, like a little pew, near the fireplace on stage, and I said, oh, grandfather, or oh, father, look. And I think I even took out the page, but there was this moment always in my acting of delight, because somehow I had ingested that, and it was, and although it said Prince, I said, and he's coming to visit, like that. Mm-hmm. So I still remember it. So that's what something can do for you in your work. Again, that was in San Francisco. One other thing that I remember. When I was in New York at Lincoln Center, and I was playing in the crowd scene of a Ben Jonson farce, The Alchemist, and didn't know quite what to do. We were all, superstitious, or we were standing outside his house and wondering what they were doing, turning, shit into gold or whatever up there, right? And I walked through Central Park, and I was wondering, and I suddenly began, I picked up a twig, and I picked up a little leaf, and I began to pick these little things up out of the road, and then I said, oh, that's nice. And I took it to the costumer, and I said, could you make me a little pouch for this? I said, I want to wear it around my neck. And she said, well, no, let me do this. And she she wrapped some leather around it. Mm. And then she made me a little thing. And so I had this little package of weeds and little twigs and things hanging down. And that, out of that grew this very personal, real character. I didn't do too much thinking about it. Did you notice how I sort of walked in a daze? And, something would happen, and, like, what are they doing now? And I would just sort of do this, and then I would do this. And, it was always like this. I stood out in that crowd scene because the director, who said, you were very good in that scene, in that crowd scene. And I guess I was real, and I was so, I had something to do that fitted the scene and that fitted me, and I had found it for myself. Mm-hmm. So it's that's what can happen out of this kind of search.
Right.
Okay? Good. Now, for now, let's not go immediately into that. That's too scary. But let's sit on the chair, and we'll just feel the breath coming over our lower lip. See, I think if we start that way, Junie.
Just going to run to the loo. Is that okay?
Yes. What I want is for you to sit there. Good. And we ease ourselves into that. It's like going, I never knew quite what going back to square one meant, but now I know what it means in terms of our work. Square one means, I heard that from Ruth, who would say that when she was working with our friend Debbie, the Jungian, she'd say, you know, get back, get to square one. So, okay. This brings us to neutral. Just go into neutral. Everything, yeah, keep and do it again. Enjoy it. Don't enjoy it that much, Joni. I've got my eye on you. what I want is this. I want us to bring the pleasure. Let me imitate, and then you'll see what I mean. The first was, and I said enjoy it. It went up into here instead of. Did you feel it's, this is where the enjoyment is
okay.
happening?
Yeah.
You can shut your eyes to sort of just let the thing work for you. Don't you work for it. That's better. And let your shoulders soften. Think of seaweed floating.
It made sense when she said floating, but no doubt that I'm seaweed. Oh yeah. I thought it was seaweed. I
mean, yuck. Mush. Go ahead. Keep going, but that's lovely. That's just stay within your body and stay with your breath, whichever way it wants to go. Learn to follow it. I'm not just sort of go into neutral for a minute and don't do anything. I'm not sure whether this shouldn't be a little more. I think what happens is this, when you do this, it can become less, but if it doesn't become anything, then what's happening is going to slip down, okay? Yeah. So instead of the thing floating up out of you, it's going to slip down into you.
Yeah.
This will then bring the neck down, etc. So I couldn't tell, was yours still moving over the lip, and could you feel it, or had you stopped?
I think it was still moving over the lip.
Okay.
I think so.
All right. Yeah. Okay. I'm but you will sure know that there's a point at which it's too small.
Right.
Do it again. Work below the mind. And it floats up, let it fill the mouth through the cheek area to the lip.
What does your stomach feel like when you're doing that?
Nothing, actually. For me, when the action is here, I notice that I don't do any squeezing. This just moves in and out by itself.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is, I think, in me a general tightness, and so I'm not, I'm not really hanging loose, which would be
the
best
idea.
Way. Yeah.
Yeah.
But mine is, let's say it's like this. And I wish it were like this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like this.
Right.
What does yours feel like?
Sometimes I feel as though I can feel the stomach going in, and it doesn't feel like it's going in because of the air, but because it's being
because you're pushing
pushed.
It in.
I think I have a general tightness too.
Uh-huh.
And I realized the other day that when I was pregnant with Amelie, sometimes the support when I was singing and everything made so much sense, and I think it's because I just had to release those muscles.
Right. Good, good.
So the support had to work.
Good.
And I think I really interfere with my stomach. And sometimes I wonder if that's not the source of that chasm between the breath and the phrase.
Yes.
Because of that tightness.
I think so.
And that has to be released before it starts.
Agreed. I think I saw a little hitch, a little glitch,
mm-hmm.
At one point in your breathing when you went from here, and there was a little and out. And I didn't want to say anything because it was going along well enough.
Mm-hmm.
But Joni, let's assume that we have that, each of us has that tightness, but the point is, since I have it too, but I'm not pushing it in, then you don't have to push it in either.
Right.
And we'll worry about the tightness some other time.
Yeah.
Okay? What I think is, I trust this more than you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, I can feel me, let's get up. And I'm going to.
Well, I notice now in choir, especially when I'm singing something easy like a hymn.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When I can think of the words this way and not this way, then I notice that it all functions so much more easily.
That's what's happening.
And so if I can think of it more this way, maybe in the same.
I think that this doesn't appear,
and I notice. When the stomach interferes, then it also makes tightness.
Yes, it's a chain of responses. Okay. Now, what I want you to do is maybe feel, sort of put your hand half on the belly part and half on the right, on the diaphragm.
Mm-hmm.
To feel that I do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there is that little bit of tightness, but did you notice that now I'm going to manipulate?
Okay. Yeah.
Feel the difference?
Yeah.
You can feel it in here.
Yeah.
We'll do that some more.
Yeah.
Now watch me not do it.
And what if you have a lot of it?
Let's figure out why. I think at some point I write that I didn't believe that I could make a sound without squeezing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the beginning of it.
Yeah.
And it's to try it out in this room.
Mm-hmm.
Where it doesn't matter what comes out, or if nothing comes out.
Yeah.
And it's to say, if I can do this and let this alone, in time this is going to be so gentle, so flexible, that it will just sort of move in, because that's the biological action.
Right.
Right. It has nothing to do with me. If I do this, the only thing it has to do with me is I just take the one knowledge, this. That's the one thing I do. The rest is done by God
right.
and biology.
That's right.
Okay. So I think that's something that it takes time for us to believe in.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's the first thing. The second thing, then, is after we really say, well, I did it. I didn't care what happened. I didn't
mm-hmm.
care whether it did it right or wrong. I just trusted this breathing out
mm-hmm.
to let this process begin.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then the next thought is to say, what would happen if I did nothing but hold the thought that after the air comes back into my body and moves all the way through the cheek area, I'm going to go blah. What would happen? Would anything happen if I didn't make sure of it?
Right.
So those two things, Joni,
yeah.
is to find out
yeah.
right now.
All right? Yeah. Here it doesn't feel that way. When I stand up.
Yeah, come over to here where I can feel it.
Where is being loose and where is...
This feels good to me.
That feels okay.
Yeah. Now,
but then if you let it go,
yeah.
that's not what we want.
I don't think so, because that's pushing.
Pushing
in another direction. Yeah, it's pushing. See, think of it in three. Let's say there are three circles. This is just letting it alone. This is pulling it up.
Mm-hmm.
This is pushing it down.
Right.
Letting it be alone.
Right.
With too much insistence.
Right.
This is nothing.
Right.
Again, it's the nothing.
Because there is natural muscle tone.
That's right.
I mean, it isn't just...
That's right.
That's right.
Exactly.
Okay.
So what we want is for you to know the difference, as
mm-hmm.
you're finding out right now.
Mm-hmm.
Remember you said sometimes when a word or a vowel feels so light
mm-hmm.
on the tongue
mm-hmm.
that it feels like nothing?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing
mm-hmm.
here. What is it to do nothing?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're figuring out right
mm-hmm.
now. And it's very hard to figure
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so sit back again,
mm-hmm.
dear. I want to explain it in this way, with the eyes. I'm now going from here to here, but I think one will help us understand
mm-hmm.
the other.
Mm-hmm.
A singer was used to overdoing the sentimentality and all
yeah.
that junk.
Yeah.
and when she sang, you know, she really sang, you know, and all that came up into the eye, and I said, now that's faking it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want you to leave alone and just do nothing. So the next time it was totally blank.
Yeah.
And nothing came through. See, no thoughts, no feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh my God, what have I done? You know, I've, you know, gone, taken her from here to there.
Right.
Then I figured out that it was, again, muscular, although so subtly muscular,
mm-hmm.
that we didn't really realize it.
Right.
And so I wrote about it again. What happens is that when you work too hard, you're putting it in. It
mm-hmm.
takes a long while to feel putting it in.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day we feel it. And we go, aha, now I know what my teacher meant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing too much. Then what happens is you empty the eye.
Mm-hmm.
But if you empty it too deliberately, there's a little pressure
mm-hmm.
in the eye which keeps it from revealing thoughts
mm-hmm.
and feelings.
Mm-hmm.
See, so that becomes a tiny pressure, and we have to learn what that is. See, and all of this stuff is so delicate.
Mm-hmm.
And again, since we're working from inside, you can barely grab your ass on a clear
yeah.
day. Motto.
yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
That's right. You say, well, what kind of teacher did you study with? Well, she had this motto. But that's really what it is going on. Now what has happened is that you are sensing that pressure. That's the first step,
mm-hmm.
is to sense the too much.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like to weigh mocha and java coffee beans.
Right.
You know, is when I say, release it. Mm-hmm. What is releasing? What's a pound of one and the other? And all you can do is do it this way.
Yeah.
There is no scale.
Right.
Good. So that's what I want you to do, and I want you to sort of talk about it mm-hmm. in class, mm-hmm. bring it up. Mm-hmm. We'll even find images mm-hmm. for it.
I think it goes hand in hand with also giving up the vibrations in my mouth and allowing them to come out.
By themselves?
Yeah. It's the same sort of narcissistic, it's too strong a word, but the pleasure of feeling like I manipulate,
them.
Like I
That's
control
right.
this.
That's exactly yeah. it. See, what you're doing is you're leaving that which is... yes, it is a little narcissism. I mean, we all do. The narcissism or that feeling of, look how hard I'm working. Working hard will bring results.
That's hard, I great. Yeah, I can do this hard thing.
Me too. I've been in that place.
Yeah.
it's a spiritual awakening is what it is. And when you move from that feeling of making vibrations or of pushing a little to get the breath there for you.
Right.
See, that is, when you leave that and you go into another physical, you go into another spiritual acceptance of the breath, then you are really at your most physical.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
mm-hmm.
you see, you're mm-hmm. at your most physical and mm-hmm. your most spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when we overwork, when we are zealous, that's not going to bring us to spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can bring it back to the Laudate. Am I pronouncing it?
Laudate.
We can bring it back there. That... if it is a truly spiritual thank, giving up thanks, as we think it is, what it is first we have this horizontal feeling. There's a golden glow. And then passing through the body is this breath, which is what? The spirit. It's the Trinity. Mm-hmm. Right? It's the ghost, really. You pass the ghost through the body, but you let it do it for you. That, so you are an empty vessel in the service of something larger, right? Than measly little us.
Right.
Okay.
Manipulating the breath.
That's
right.
Yeah, so I think that helps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what we're talking about today really helps feel your way to the song still.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's do it, Joni, once again. Now this time, I think stand up again and let me put my hand on you. This time, trust in this.
Okay.
Don't worry about, the eyes in the back. We'll,
right.
I kind of picked up on something, but we're going to leave that for the moment.
Just
so, just feel the F.
Okay.
And know that that's all you had to do.
Okay.
Yeah, don't care what the body does. Let the air come back in. And touch your shoulder a minute to let it release. Let it release. Let it release. Now go back again. Don't over-sentimentalize. Just feel the air. Do nothing. Okay. I think I want you to touch the mantelpiece, Joni, because I want you to feel support. You know.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Breathe out again. Let me have a little more weight on the air. And when the breath goes back, let it flow all the way that it wants to. All the way, let it off. Yeah. That's all I want you to do with your inside eyes, is to follow that flag in. Do nothing. Do the F again. And now do nothing. Just receive it. Just receive it. Okay. That's all I want
That's all for now. Did you feel it? We're seeing it.
Yeah.
Was the word.
I think one time it did just release and it felt like it just, the muscles let go. Sometimes it felt like it went, and one time it felt like it just went, there's the air. Do you know what I mean?
No, I wasn't there. Are you saying that you manipulated it at one time?
No, it felt like, well, I don't know. I don't think I manipulated it. It felt as though it just, that it just opened. Instead of gradually, instead of going, it felt like it could just go, and there was the air.
What I think at this moment, I'm not quite sure what you're saying, but what I think is that that's not for you to care about today.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For you, the only thing for you to think about, remember I said let the body do whatever it does.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing for you to do was just to receive the air.
Yeah.
Receive is passive.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
And the only
Taking in air.
That you weren't taking it in, you weren't doing nothing.
Yeah.
The only thing you had to do was with the right weight.
Right.
Good. To understand
how
to receive
The
air that's given to you.
Mm-hmm.
That flows out. And that's what you're saying Laudate for.
Right.
So we can bring, we can really do that song in many.
Right.
You can think about it.
I'm just going to write that down.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Just receiving the air.
Yes. Let's not forget it. What did we say?
Well, just allowing,
receiving
instead of,
the air.
Taking
yes.
In the air, you're receiving.
That's it. It's receiving the air, and if the body understands it, the body will let the air flow all the way up through, right through the cheek area, and it will even crest right under the cheek area to the word, and that's what Laudate is. Thank you for this air that I receive from you.